We start off the hour by welcoming in North Platte Mayor Brandon Kelleher. Mayor Kelleher, good to see you this morning.
Good morning. I'm happy that we got some moisture this week. Yeah. I know not everybody loves snow, but I love the changing of the seasons in Nebraska, so I'm happy to see a little snow.
Not too bad today either. Going to be warming up, already 40 degrees, so warmer right now than what it's been the past 2 days. So on our way to a high today near 50, and then 60-degree temperatures coming around the corner, so we'll still get a touch of fall along with that moisture.
That's right. I like how you worked the weather report into that, too. That was pretty cool.
It's almost like you and I have done this before.
It could be.
Mayor Kelleher, it's been a very busy week for you. Before we recap the city council meeting from last night, let's talk about a trip that you and a couple of your fellow elected officials and one appointed official took to Idaho on Monday.
Yes, that's true. Thanks to the graciousness of Nebraska Land Bank, they lent us their plane at absolutely zero cost to the taxpayers.
Did they lend you a pilot, too?
They lent us a pilot
as well.
Oh, good. We wouldn't have gotten very far
I was
otherwise.
Nervous about who would be the pilot between you, Brad, David, and Ty. I didn't know who's going to be.
None of us.
Okay, good.
And we flew on Sunday evening, really just before the snow hit. Well, it was actually just starting to snow. We flew to Boise, Idaho, and spent the night there, again, at absolutely zero cost to the taxpayers. And also, Susan Such from the North Platte Telegraph came with us as a reporter. She was with us. And we invited Mr. George Larrabee from the Bulletin, but it didn't work for his schedule, so he was unable to attend. So we wanted to have great transparency. We wanted to invite some members of the press who could really tell the story.
And George did do a story with you guys on the heels of you coming back and everything, so he has published that, too. So.
Yes, yeah. He interviewed everybody. I believe he interviewed everybody yesterday, I believe, so that's when I talked to him. At any rate, we went to Boise, Idaho, spent the evening and traveled, drove over to, I believe it's pronounced Cuna, Idaho, and drove by the beef plant. And we visited it three times throughout the course of the day at different times of the day because different production areas or times, different things are happening in plants. So we wanted to get a good sense of what it's really like. And the last time we were there was just before 2 p.m. in the afternoon. It's about 3 o'clock Central time. First time we were there was at 7:30 in the morning. It was pitch black, and the plant was quite obvious, and we could see where we were going, but you couldn't really see what was around it. And it's in a very rural area. It's probably about 3 miles from any sort of living or anything like that. It's kind of out in the country. Like if you went 3 miles south of North Platte, it was something along those lines, but not as hilly. At any rate, we were able to kind of smell the plant at 7:30 in the morning when we drove right up to it. So we were, maybe 100 yards from the building, something along those lines.
You could detect a little bit of odor.
You could detect some odor. There was no clear. And then we came back. We drove around a little bit. We were in the downwind side of the plant at that point. And we drove over to the upwind side of the plant, which was, a quarter mile around the building, basically. You could smell nothing. I mean, you couldn't smell anything at all except the country air, you might call it, a little bit of mustiness from the hay.
Just the morning air.
Yeah, exactly. So we went and had breakfast, and we came back about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we talked to some people in the intervening period. But when we came back at about, it was right around 10 o'clock in the morning, there was a very pronounced odor at that road where we had been. And it was that sort of, I think the Telegraph described it as the acrid smell that you get from the rendering. And it was, it was very much, very present. But that was, 10 steps off their property.
Okay.
So the
first detection of odor in the morning was about 100 yards. Where was it in the afternoon, would you say?
Yeah, the exact same spot.
I mean, okay, 100
from
yards.
The building, we were trying to be as scientific as we could and go visit the same spot, within a few feet, of course, and it was pretty easy to know where the wind was because the plant has some stacks on it, and there's steam coming out of those stacks.
Sure.
And so we could align ourselves with the motion or the direction of the steam and see exactly where we were. So then we used Google Maps, and the roads in that area are kind of like section roads like you'd see here in Nebraska. Not a mile in every direction, but they're gridded off like that. So we could go back a little ways and then align ourselves again with the steam. So we knew we were in the wind and try and smell it. And we went out first about a half mile, and the odor decreased substantially, but we could still detect it, no question. And then we went out at a mile, or just, I think it was about a mile and a tenth. And if you took a very deep breath, you would smell it.
And really had to look for it, really.
Yeah, you had to, you know, and it would kind of come in waves. It was sort of like standing in front of the ocean. You know, you'd get the odor for a few seconds, and then there would be nothing for a few seconds, and then you'd get the odor. And I was encouraged by that fact that out of the mile, there was pretty much, you know, the odor was close to undetectable. It was detectable, but it was close to undetectable. Because at the proposed site here in North Platte, the interstate, the interchange, that area out there, the east interchange, is about a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the prevailing wind in this area is going to take it kind of more at an angle away from the interchange.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my biggest concerns throughout this process, the current concerns of many others, is we don't want to have any sort of plant, doesn't matter what it is, what they're making there, that causes an odor issue for North Platte, because it could likely discourage other development.
It changes the quality of life, too, for the residents already here, but could deter future residents in a lot of ways.
Yes, both issues are very big concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So I was encouraged to find out that it's extremely unlikely that that will be an issue for us here in North Platte, because the plant there in CUNA has some of the latest odor control technology.
Similar to what Sustainable Beef would put in.
Right, and the devices that Sustainable Beef is going to put in are actually improvements upon that technology.
Sure. They're the newest in the game. It doesn't get newer.
Exactly. So, theoretically, we should see even less odor coming out of a potential plant here in North Platte. Now, to protect the community, it's the intent of the city to pass some ordinances to help control odor, and also to include elements in the development contract that's part of the development plan for TIF that will require various specifications on odor control.
And that's something that's being worked on behind the scenes currently, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
At some point it will be a public document.
But sure.
But it's in the work process right now.
It's making an ordinance. That's very complicated. That involves... Does it involve the city administrator, the lawyer, the city attorney, department heads, too?
Yep. And we're also in the process, and it will likely be on the next council agenda. We're employing the services of a company who helps entities and industries across the country do odor control.
Okay.
Because while I've learned a lot about odor control in the last year or so, I'm definitely very far from an expert.
Sure.
And this is so important to our community, we need to bring in some experts, and they need to explain to us what are the considerations, what are the capabilities, what's reasonable. What doesn't prevent Sustainable Beef from being successful, but also protects the community. We have to find that sweet spot right there, and that's what we're going to do. I absolutely will not be the mayor that stunk up North Platte. I'm not going to let that happen.
And in all seriousness, too, Mayor Kelleher, I believe that the people behind Sustainable Beef want this to be done right, too. They don't want to stink up North Platte. I've not met Mr. Briggs officially, but I get the impression that he doesn't want that to happen, the CEO. And then I have met several of the ranchers behind Sustainable Beef, and they absolutely do not want that. I can tell you for a fact.
Yes, that's absolutely true. They've said that repeatedly. And the reason that we're going to include this in the development agreement and include it in some sort of ordinance, the protections, is that at some point the development contract will end. At the end of the TIF bond, the development contract ends.
Mm-hmm.
No longer a contract. In order to make it make the odor control continue into perpetuity, it needs to be a city ordinance.
Sure.
So that's why we'll be putting it in an ordinance as well.
And that city ordinance would apply if there's somebody that comes to town and opens up a sneaker manufacturing plant. That ordinance would be in effect for that plant too. So it's
exactly
going to cover the entire city.
Because what we have to keep firmly in our minds here in North Platte, since we've had several decades of not a lot of development, this Sustainable Beef Project is just the first in the line of many things, many discussions, many complex decisions, many problems, many challenges, and most importantly, many opportunities that we're going to have over the next several years to make our town grow. And we need to keep our heads cool. Mm-hmm. We need to be reasonable, and we need to have a practical, very communicative approach to all of this, and then we will attract businesses. They're going to want to come here.
Sure. This is the first domino to fall, but I will say it's a big domino.
It's a big domino. There's no question. And you could ask any of the developers that I've talked to or Mr. Kibbins talked to in the time I've been mayor, and when they come in to talk to us, we sit down with them for a little, you know, just a short meeting.
Sure.
What do you want to do? How are we going to do this? And one of the first things that comes out of my mouth is, we want you to come to North Platte. We obviously can't do anything that would be inappropriate or illegal, but if you have any issues with anything, come and talk to us about
it.
And,
absolutely.
And we will do everything we can to make sure you're successful to come to our community and bring jobs. That's one of the very first conversations we have with anybody that comes in before we even get into the detail of what they want to do often. And I think that's a very important conversation with some of the many of the things that are in Motion North Platte right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the developer's phone number in my cell phone, and they have mine.
Good.
And just yesterday, I talked to one of them for a few minutes about this not sustainable beef as another project. They just had a couple of questions. They called me. I answered their questions. They're, oh, okay, good. We're fine. And the
what
project
a great
proceeded.
Way to learn about the city, too, from a lifelong resident and our mayor.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Mayor Kelleher, sustainable beef, obviously receiving a pay from the Community Redevelopment Authority. You attended that meeting at City Hall. Can you verify that my thought process is right here? CRA approved it yesterday or recommended it. That advances to the Planning Commission at the end of this month. And then the Planning Commission reverts it back to the CRA, who would then advance it to you and the council?
Yes, as long as everyone advises accordingly.
Okay.
Yes, that's what will happen. So the Planning Commission will take up consideration, and you yourself will be mm-hmm. part of this, as you know, as to whether the plan, the redevelopment plan, is appropriate from the zoning and compliance perspective. That's
mm-hmm.
that is the Planning Commission's role. And so I'm sure you'll listen to some public testimony and things like that. It's mm-hmm. a meeting, most likely.
Probably hear from Sustainable Beef CEO, too, and Mr. Pearson from the Chamber. And
yep, I would imagine so. The redevelopment plan has been worked on for so long, unlikely that the Planning Commission would deem it inappropriate in some way, but that's their decision and recommendation to make. And assuming that they recommend moving forward, then it goes back to the CRA, and the CRA turns around and recommends, in theory, if they find everything to continue to be appropriate, back to City Council at that point. Somewhere in the middle of that, this redevelopment contract should be largely resolved. And
okay.
I suspect that second CRA meeting, there will be some discussion about what that contract looks like and what it contains. And that will probably be a lot of where the next CRA recommendation goes, if that contract is largely complete or complete at that time.
Planning Commission meeting this month, we'll have a public hearing on this, and then there'll be at least one City Council meeting with a public hearing too, right?
Right, and yes, that's correct. And right now, we anticipate that City Council meeting will be on December 7th.
Okay, if everything proceeds as planned.
Proceeds, yes. If it doesn't, then it could be at the next City Council meeting, which would be... Would that be the 21st, I believe,
okay.
of December? But that assumes that everyone approves and we don't encounter any
sure.
issues that cause further consideration or something like that. So,
changing gears here a little bit, Mayor Kelleher, City Council meeting last night, relatively routine for a couple of measures, a few of them on second reading, I believe, too, and I believe everything passed unanimously with the exception of a vote to go into closed session yesterday, but... that closed session was about 12 minutes, 13 minutes, I think. Is that about right?
Somewhere around there, yes.
And that was with our elected officials, our city attorney, our city administrator, and our new interim chief of police, Steve Reeves, who was approved by the council and officially sworn into the office last night.
That is correct. It's very exciting. I really want to thank interim chief of police, Reeves, for be willing to step up and be the interim. It's going to be a great thing for the community, and I think that we'll have a permanent police chief here in the next 2 to 3 months. I'm hoping we get it resolved by the end of the year, but I think that's the likely progress. But we had to have someone step in, and I think if you saw the volume of law enforcement officers in the audience last night, you know that Steve has a great amount of support from his coworkers, and there's hardly a better testament to support than when all your coworkers show up to say happy day and congratulations.
It was not only members of the North Platte Police Department, but the highest-ranking officials with the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department in attendance, and I know that there was a couple of individuals from the fire department there too, including Chief Thompson.
That's right. That's right. And it was a great scene. There was quite a lot of clapping, and there was a standing ovation, and it went on for almost an uncomfortable period of time. So.
You've never felt so safe, though, have you, looking
around
right. the council chambers?
We had crime under control at City Hall last night. There's no question about that.
Mayor Kelleher, Steve Reeves on the interim side of things for the North Platte Police Department. However, I personally, as a citizen of North Platte, have all the trust and faith in him in the world, and I could imagine the city does too, obviously, as the council voted unanimously to put him in that role.
Yes, and you can count me in that category as well.
Mayor Kelleher, anything else from the meeting last night you wanted to discuss, sir?
Well, we did have a little discussion. It's kind of interesting. Get a chance to watch it on YouTube. Take a moment. There was a brief presentation of the ward boundary changes for the upcoming year.
On the heels of the census.
On the heels of the census. And generally speaking, in North Platte, the ward boundary changes were very minor. And a little bit of shifting. As I'm sure everyone's aware, we try to keep the ward populations as similar as possible.
Sure.
To balance. And the changes here in North Platte were very minor. Obviously, on the state level, they're a little different, but at least in...
Much more controversial.
Exactly. In North Platte, they were very minor. And so those maps are available in the agenda books that are on the city website if anyone would like to review them. But they are quite minor. I anticipate that the council will approve those before the end of the year. But we let it... It comes in the form of an ordinance.
Okay.
So the council will have to read it at least once, probably three times would be my anticipation. So if anyone has comments or questions, they're welcome to come to the meeting and speak.
We'll reach out to you or their council representatives beforehand, too.
That is correct.
And Mayor Kelleher, Judy Clark, brought up last night, too, that with this redevelopment plan, none of our current city council representatives would move residents outside their current wards.
That is correct. All the sitting city council members were still in a ward, in the ward that they started in. Councilman Garrick is probably the closest to seeing a change, as in the part of Fifth Street that he lives on. The north side of the street would become, I believe, part of Ward 4, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think that'd be right.
Yeah, and he lives on the south side of the street, so he stays in his current ward.
He can walk across the street and go over into Councilman Woods and Reeker's wards.
Exactly.
How unique.
Exactly, yes.
Also, last night, Mayor Kelleher, there was discussion about the way that the city should conduct open comment on public hearings.
That is correct. This is something that Mr. Doyce Williams asked during the agenda request item at the previous meeting.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit last month.
We did, and it sparked actually a bit longer conversation than I anticipated it would. And in trying to give folks an appropriate amount of time to say their piece, but not let folks who aren't real focused in their conversations, talk for 20 minutes and repeat mm-hmm. themselves, it's a challenging, it really is kind of hard to do.
And sure.
But Mr. Williams was just pointing out a perceived inequity.
Mm-hmm.
And the council, which I appreciate him doing that, but the council's thoughts, I think many of them, you can't generalize all their thoughts, but I believe that their opinion was that often at the beginning of a project, you want the presenters, whoever is proposing the project, to sort of explain what they're doing and why.
Sure.
And you can't really do that in 3 minutes in most cases.
You hear it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Exactly. And so when you consider that the presenter may get 15 to 20 minutes to explain what they're doing and why, and then folks who might be opposed or who may want to make comments or ask questions in the past have typically gotten around 3 minutes, a little more sometimes.
It's not a strict 3 minutes, though, I want to stress.
It's not. I think me putting up an actual digital timer kind of worried some people, so I probably won't do that anymore. I didn't realize.
I thought it was comical, though.
Yeah, well, we'll do something to indicate when time is running out, but I'm not sure what we're going to do exactly. But in the past, I used to look at the clock in the back of the room, and it was a little subjective because mm-hmm. I don't really know where the second hand was when they started. I just could see where the minute hand was, and that's fine. And I'd make it a point, if someone is in the middle of explaining something or making their point, I definitely
middle
don't
of a
cut
thought,
them.
You don't cut them off.
I don't cut them off, because that would just be rude, and it would ruin the whole purpose. Ultimately, the council wants input from the city, mm-hmm. or from the citizens. And it's very important that we have that, mm-hmm. because we all have opinions, we all think we know what people think, but almost every council meeting, we learn something that we didn't
sure.
know.
Sure, and minds can be changed during public hearing.
It does happen. And I think that you have to balance that receiving of information with making the decision.
Absolutely.
And council people have told me for years, not just this council but previous, that when someone stands up there and talks for 10 or 15 minutes about something, unless they're consistently inputting new information or making points,
sure.
or they're a really great presenter, they don't tune in after the first 3 or 4 minutes.
Attention can be lost.
Yeah, they just sort of listen to them say the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who is really served by that, because the presenter is losing their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole process is just an interesting balance. So we're going to endeavor going forward to to maybe do some things a little differently to try to give people a little more time. But it will continue, I think, to be a bit of a challenge into how to be perfectly fair. I'm not sure that being 100% fair is possible in this scenario. We're certainly going to try, but I'm not sure that we're ever going to be 100% successful.
And you brought up last night that this is going to be a work in project a little bit. This is going to be something we're just going to have to see how different things work out and kind of go from there.
That's correct. That's correct. I'm not sure how else we would do it because it's really subjective. It's based on people's opinions. Mm-hmm. And so the simple truth is we're probably not going to make everyone happy all the time.
Hazard of
politics.
Mayor Kelleher, thanks for stopping by the studio. Always appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you for having me. Hope you have a great day.
You too. More coming up on KODY's Mugs in the Morning after this quick break on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.